Okay, so here's to start off with. I thought this was kind of a an interesting. This is all the way back to the 1800s. The devil's finest trick is to persuade you that he does not exist. Anybody ever hear that before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another one that I thought was kind of neat as we start off. Be sober. Be watchful. Your slanderous adversary is roaring, lying, is walking about, seeking to devour. So as we think about this, as we go into this sharing here tonight. Everybody has this image, and Hollywood does it, everything else about the adversaries being some awful looking creature, but what is actually is going to be something that's probably beautiful to view and to look at, and something that you'd be like, going, wow, look at that. And so we have to be careful of how we deal with things and to be on guard. So who knows what a placebo is? Kids, anybody know? No? Okay. A placebo. Here it is. It's a harmless pill, medicine, or procedure prescribed for the psychological benefit to the patient for a physiological effect. What does that mean? It means that it is something that they use to make you think you're getting one thing so that it does something to you. And that's how they're going to check. So a placebo effect, if you will, is where they take three groups, and they do this in medicine all the time. And this is how they're verifying whether it works. And they'll take one group, and they won't give them any medicine. And then they'll take the second group, and they'll give them like a sugar pill. Okay? And then they'll take the third group, and they'll give them the actual medicine, and then they compare it all to see how those all work. The placebo makes you think that you're getting something, but you're really not. But it a lot of times people will feel like, well, yeah, I could feel the difference. And so the placebo effect that I refer to here is where you're used to something, you think that it helps you, you think it's something that's good, but in actuality it's nothing more than a trick, if you will. Something fake, make you feel better. Most people believe that what they believe is the truth. Okay? Whether it's the truth or not. And this is always makes me laugh. And so you hear people who would say things. I always hear statements, you know, where somebody say, well, things always happen for a reason. Something always happens for a reason. And I think to myself, well, based on what? What's the reason for that? And it's just, well, that's what I believe. I've laid interest into that. I've heard other people say it, therefore it must be true. But what happens is when we start mixing in world beliefs with biblical beliefs, we run into a problem. Okay? So, let's start off with this. Who knows what this is? Anybody ever seen one of those before? Yeah. Here's something interesting. Okay, that's a closed door. We're looking at the closed door. Door closed. Okay. Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. Do you know what it did? It made that button a dummy button. It is ineffective. Does nothing. Pressing the closed door button will not, in fact, close the doors to close any faster. So I always used to laugh. You get into an elevator, you'd see somebody running for the elevator, and people would be inside the elevator so they couldn't quite see you, and they'd be pushing the door closed. And you're like going, you little turd, what are you doing? Well, this guy's running for the elevator, you know, to make me want to push the door open. Okay, the door open button does work, okay, to get people in. But the door closed button, since 1990, now there are some places, if the elevator, which is all Otis, if you ever look at an elevator and anybody ever finds one that's not Otis, let me know. Okay, because that thing's going to be a relic. But in 1990, the Disabilities Act disabled them. And so any elevator since then, they still have the door closed. And you know why they put it on there? Because people like to be able to push it. And then what happens is you push it four or five times, and then the door closed, and you're like going, about time, finally. Or you get the false sensation that what you did actually made something happen, when in actuality, you're just pushing a dead button. Okay, here's another one. Anybody knows what this is? Yes, crosswalk. City of New York. Guess what? In the city of New York, almost all of them are computer controlled, but you know what they didn't do? They didn't remove them. And you know why? Because people were used to going up and pushing the button and then waiting for it. Pedestrians are not prompting the walk signal to change when they push the crosswalk button, but they're still there. They're all automated in all time. They say that in the city of New York, only 120 of those out of all of New York are actually still working. The rest of them are all just there for show. And it makes me laugh because you think about that where you go up and you're like, you push a couple times. You're like, doggone. Well, why? Because people like it. The other one that I thought was kind of funny is there's a report about offices, large offices, where people would constantly be complaining about the temperature. And so they had a place. This one of them was in Fort Collins that I was reading about. They went in there and installed a whole bunch of these thermostat in offices that aren't hooked up to anything. And he goes, our service calls went down almost 50%. Because people would feel like, golly, man, I'm in. They go turn it down, and then in their mind, they'd feel like, oh, finally. Okay? And it didn't do anything. And so in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, where does that affect me when I'm, these things that I'm doing that are inert? It's the packing peanuts. You know, when you open up a package and you're digging through all the other stuff to get to it. Well, George likes to actually play with the packing peanuts and the box. Everybody else just wants to get the stuff out of it. But what we're going to look at is we're going to be looking at deception, okay, and being deceived and how that affects us. So what's this here? Knocking on wood. Okay? Knock on wood. Who's done that before? Okay? Yeah. Why do we do it? Now we're not doing it for just because we're trying to get into the house. Somebody would say, well, if this happens, knock on wood. In other words, that knock on the wood is supposed to help make that happen. Do you know what the knock on wood, where that came from? It came from spiritual stuff, where you did that to try to chase away evil spirits. Do you think that has any bearing or any effect? Did you find that anywhere in the Word? How about when you hear the thing, beginner's luck? Okay? Is there such thing? Find a penny, pick it up, the rest of the day you'll have...
good luck.
There you go. Okay, think it's true? Don't walk under a ladder. Why is that?
Bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck. Black cats crossing in your path. Lola crosses in mine all the time, and I have great luck. Rabbit's foot will bring you luck. Okay? Bad luck comes in threes. People watch for that. I've seen that a ton of times. Bad luck comes in threes, so they are waiting and watching to check off to see where those threes come in. Okay? Careful with that mirror. What happens if you break a mirror?
Bad luck for 7 years.
7 years. Wishing on a wishbone. Crossing your fingers. How many have done that before? Mm-hmm. Not opening an umbrella inside. These are all things. These are all things that are made up. They're placebos. Does anybody really believe that crossing their fingers is going to get them anything? No. Okay. So what does it mean to be deceived? Okay. And this is where we're looking at it. And so when we start looking at deceit, there's a couple things to keep aware of. First thing is, are we being deceived? Okay. That's one. Second one is, are we deceiving? Third one is, are we just deceived? Or did I say that as number one? I might have. I don't remember. Okay. Anyway, the being deceived and deceiving others, you can be deceiving people without even realizing that you're doing it. But it means to mislead, delude, beguile, mean to lead astray, or frustrate, usually by underhandedness, meaning that it's wickedness that we're doing here. Being deceived is being wicked. Okay? Deceive implies imposing a false idea or belief that causes ignorance, bewilderment, or helplessness. Deceive others, that's what I was talking about, willingly or unwillingly. If you are passing bad doctrine, you are deceiving unwillingly, unless you absolutely know that you are, okay? It doesn't make a difference. And deceiving ourselves. And so let's start off here. Start off in 2 Peter. Okay, and we're going to be on page 243, I believe. 243-ish. Who would like to read it? Who's there? Which one of you kids are there? All right, Melania, is everybody there? Page 243. 243 in the back. If you go to the very back, it starts over after it gets to the New Testament. So thank you there, Esther. I appreciate it. 243. Okay. Starting in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Go ahead, Melania.
But there arose false prophets also among the people. As among you also, there shall be false teachers, men who will stealthily bring in destructive parties, and master that bought them, denying, bringing upon themselves speedy destruction.
That's right. And so what do we watch for? We have false prophets, people that do it. Are there people out there that are trying to deceive and trying to sway people into one way or another? Absolutely. We see that all over the place. It's nothing's been different. As you go through, what do you think Jezebel did, Melania? What do you think she was to do? She was to deceive. She was to cause all kinds of wickedness. Okay? And her spiritual wickedness would float over even into other people. Let's go over to Matthew here. Let's switch over there real quick and go into Matthew 7. We're going to be on about page 6 or 7.
Page 6.
Yes, it is. Page 6. Thank you. Are you there, Isaiah?
Yep.
All right. Since everybody's there. Okay, 13 through 15 of chapter 7, if you would, please.
13 through 15. Enter ye at the narrow gate, because broad and roomy is the way that leadeth into destruction. And many are ye who enter thereby. Because narrow is the gate, and conflicted the way that leadeth our life. A few are they who find it. Beware the false prophets who come unto you in clothing of sheep, white within their raven wolves.
That's exactly it. You guys heard that before? Mm-hmm. Beware the false prophets, because how do they appear? How do they appear? They come to you as clothing, as clothed as sheep, but they're ravaging wolves. Okay? And so this is where we're to be on guard. And that's why the adversary is trying to look for who to devour. And we don't want to be the next thing on the meal ticket. We don't want to be that three-legged wildebeest on the African plain, do we? Alright, infiltration. Anybody knows what that is? Infiltration. Because as we look at this, what's happening here with the false prophets? False prophets are showing up as they're looking like sheep, but they're actually extremely wicked people. This is infiltration, is what this is. And infiltration is the action of entering or gaining access to an organization or place surreptitiously. Holly, is that right?
Sure.
Especially in order to acquire secret information or cause damage. So in spy movies, when you see that, what would happen is somebody would pose. They'd wear the enemy's uniform. They would go out. They would try to get in with that group so that they could infiltrate it to gain information or cause disruption or deceive or to break down the flow of action, if you will. Infiltration is what we're seeing in there, that they're coming as clothed in sheep, but they're actually ravaging wolves. Mob. Think about that, with the mob infiltrating the police and the judges. Where they didn't go out to just the storefront and the people. They went right to the top. Okay? It was better for them to have the judges under their watch and the cops under their watch where they're on the payroll versus having all the people, because they're the ones who are controlling it. That was the top down. And so the mob realized right off the bat it's quicker and easier to do it. I saw the thing with the drug cartels out of Colombia. That's exactly what they did too. They would go right in and they would buy off all the judges and they'd buy off all the cops, give them all kinds of money for them to keep their eyes closed and let them do whatever they needed. Okay, those that profess wisdom in academia, you see this in colleges now with professors. Professors are teaching anything but truth in a lot of areas. They're pushing their own beliefs while they're, you know, trying to profess, you know, to have an open mind and take in things and don't be closed-minded. Yet, if you try to give them different direction, they're going to argue with you. Journalists. Okay, journalists right now, about 85% of journalism right now is people going into it are people who are extremely on the left side, socialists. Okay, they're going into journalism. This is where it's coming. So what do you think that 85% of the people graduating are going to be? They're going to be socialists pushing this. And so you're going to have infiltration. This is where, even with colleges now, the academia and journalism colleges, where it's tough for a lot of person. If you show up and you're a conservative person, or you believe in Christ, or you believe in the Bible, good luck. You better keep quiet, okay? Because they're going to look at you as infiltrating their organization. Tares among the wheat. Who knows what that is? Okay? The tares amongst the wheat were disruptive. These were the plants that would come in, and what would it do? If you look at it, if you guys look at a picture of tares and wheat, when they're young, they all look the same, and so you can't hardly tell the difference between them. But the tares have no fruit, okay? But they come in and they choke out the wheat, and this is exactly what we're referring to as infiltration. That we are to be on guard, to be watching for that. In Matthew 10:16, Elijah, why don't you read that for me? Go ahead, you can read right off the screen.
Okay. Lo, I send you forth as sheep amidst wolves. Become ye therefore prudent as serpents and simple as doves.
That's exactly it. And so guess what the adversary is doing with people? He's sending in the wicked as clothed as sheep. But they are wicked. And here is Yehoshua telling us, lo, I send you forth as sheep amongst these wicked people. So therefore be prudent. Be on guard as serpents and simple as doves. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians.
And then notice that then he clothes the wolves as sheep.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right. All right, 1 Corinthians 2, page 167. Fourteen through sixteen. David, I'll let you read these ones here. 14 through 16 on page 167. Are you there?
2 through 14.
It's chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It's at the bottom left corner there on page 167.
I therefore betray...
But a man...
But a man is the is the soul. Do not welcome the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, and he cannot get to know them, because spiritually are they exclaimed, but the man of the spirit, on the one hand,
examineth
all things, but one the other, he himself by no one is exclaimed.
Examined. And then 16 as well.
For who hath come to know the mind of the Lord that shall instruct him? But we have the mind of the Christ.
That's it. That's exactly it. Now go back here to the beginning of 14, where it says, but a man of the soul, and you see the footnote D? That's a physical man or natural man is what we're referring to here. Okay, that word is not normal nephesh that you would see. Okay, it is physical man, but a man of that's physical or a man that is natural doth become weak, for they are foolish unto him. He cannot get to know them, because spiritually they are examined, but the man of the spirit, okay, that is us, on the one hand examineth all things, but on the other he himself by no one is examined. For he who hath come to know the mind of the Lord, or the mind of Yahweh, that he shall instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Which means that's why we can go out as clothed as sheep. Okay? We can go forth as sheep, because we have the mind of Christ. So guess what? When the wolf goes to bite, you can sidestep. Hey, I gotta get away from this one here. We'll know. Yahweh can tell us when you go out that watch out, you should not be here. Knock the dust off your shoes and move on. This is not the place for you, and to keep moving out. And this is why we have that. Having the mind of Christ, guess what that gives us? That gives us access to tap in that we may know the bidding of Yahweh. Go to 2 Timothy. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, going to be on page 219.
Yeah.
All right. Elijah, why don't you go ahead and read that, would you?
Okay.
12 through 14.
Yea, and all who are determined to live in a godly manner in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Whereas
hang on a second here. Well, that's a great advertisement for Christianity, right? Hey, come join me. You're going to get beat up.
Make yourself a target.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the club for deer. Here, we wear these vests, and it's got a big target on it. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, when you see that, you're like going, Yeah, all those people, you'll be persecuted. Well, that's okay. Go ahead. Keep reading there on 13.
Whereas wicked men in howling imposters will force their way to the worst, deceiving and being deceived.
That's it. And so why are you going to be persecuted, and who are you going to be persecuted by? Okay? Well, I can tell you right now, it's going to be of the worldly people who have no Christ in them. It's going to be of church leaders who, if you say something different from what they have to say, and any wicked or people of the world. Okay, go ahead with 14.
But thou abide in the things which thou hast learned, and been entrusted with, knowing from whom thou hast learned them.
That's it. Very good. Being deceived for the worst, deceiving and being deceived. And so a person who becomes deceived, who regurgitates all the information that deceived them, they were deceived and they are deceiving. And you see that all over the world. We'll take a couple looks at that. I love this one here with Benjamin Franklin. Okay, when we look at this, who is it that's going to be? Remember when we looked at this at the beginning, we're talking about those that deceive us and us deceiving others. I would probably say that Satan's one of his biggest and easiest access to every person is self-deceit, where we deceive ourselves. And this is what I love about Benjamin Franklin. Who has deceived thee so often as thyself? Yeah, you're like going, man, the person who's deceived me the most, oh, gee, me. Okay, it's me. Well, why? I should know better than that. You're right. You're absolutely right. We're going to take a look at them. I thought this was kind of cool. Can you see this here? This is the fisherman's golden ruler. Okay? This is the fish story. Okay, I was reading a story about a kid who's like going, I'm almost 7 foot tall. And the mom's looking down at this kid who's like 4.5 years old and like going, really? 7 foot tall? How are you figuring? And he goes, well, I've got this tape measure that I made. Okay, I'm like going, well, you could be 12 feet tall, you know? Now, if you convince yourself of that, well, great. But, you know, that's kind of self-deceit in a joking manner. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's not. Okay, it's not. And so this is a good one here, too, by Voltaire. The human brain is a complex organ with the wonderful power of enabling man to find reasons for continuing to believe whatever it is he wants to believe. Okay? And that's exactly it. And so our brain, what we have between our ears, is a tool to be able to receive revelation, to receive word of wisdom. It's also something that can be used against us if we do not control it. If we don't control our tongue, if we don't control our thoughts. When wicked thoughts come in, if we don't immediately subdue them, guess what? It will harvest and we'll sow those in, and what will come out of that will be bad fruit or no fruit. Self-delusion, the actor state of deceiving or deluding oneself. Okay, normally a psychologist would refer to that as somebody having a mental disability, and I'm like going, not necessarily. Every single person at some point will delude themselves or deceive themselves, and it happens all the time. Or it's a battle of our flesh, okay, that every day that we're supposed to take our flesh and pin it to the cross with all our sins. Well, why are we doing that? Well, because of the fact that we don't want to be deceiving ourselves. We don't want to go out and miss the things that Yahweh has for us. Let's go to this one here. And I always love this picture there of the polar bears there. There should be a Coke commercial there. 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to be here for the last couple of them here in this area. 1 Corinthians 3, page 167. Thank you, Esther. Appreciate it. Who's there?
Me.
You're there? All right. Why don't you go ahead and read? I'll read 11, and you can read 18 and 19. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 3, start off in 11, and then we're going to flip over to the next page here, 11. For what other foundation can no one say? For other foundation can no one lay that which is lying, which is Christ Jesus. So what is that saying? It's saying that there is no other foundation whatsoever. It doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter where you come from, there is no other foundation outside of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead and read 18 through 19 on the next page.
Let no one be deceived himself. If anyone imagines himself to be wise among you in his age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness from Yahweh. For it is written that he hath talketh the wise in their cave.
Nimery, that's right. Very good. That's craftiness is basically what that is. If you look down B, it's meaning that their trickery, that their wickedness, their deceitfulness, if you will. That's what we're looking at. And so if anyone, well, wait a minute, let no one be deceiving himself. Well, who would want to deceive themselves? Well, how about this? When you get up in the morning and you're thinking to yourself, I really need to do this. But you know what? I could do that later. That's not a big deal. You know, I should be reading the Word right now, but I'll do it later. I know I'll get to it later, and then 3 or 4 days go by. What'd you do? You just deceived yourself. I'll do it later. Okay? Everything's later. I'll get to it. I'll go and get around to it. Deceiving yourself, or if something comes up where you're like going, you know, this is the wrestling that I have with my flesh. And I've been so good for 2 months. I think I can treat myself to a little bit of this and serve my flesh, because I've been really, really good. And that's deceiving ourselves. That's what we're referring to here. Okay, there's a couple of them I want to look at here. Wisdom of the world, this age. Okay?
Is that a doorbell?
I don't know. Social justice. Okay, you kids will hear that from time to time. This is a common term. Social justice means the taking of other things. It means that there is no equal, there's no equal under the rule, that what applies to one does not apply to another. And so social justice is something that we see that's of this day. Everybody's supposed to be on board with this. Social justice. Nobody even knows what it means. Darby. Absolutely. Come on in here. Come on in, guys. How are you? Welcome, welcome. Worship of the Earth. That's a great one. This is very popular in today's era. And so you think about this. Now, growing up, I know Chuck's seen this here, but it started off years ago when I was even younger. It was called acid rain, and then it turned into the ozone, and then it turned into, we're fearful we're going to have an ice age. Okay, now I'm only 50 years old. Nobody correct me on that. Okay, then we're going to have an ice age. Okay, and everybody's shush. Nobody correct me on that. Stop trying to deceive everybody. Okay? And then we're going to have an ice age. And then we're going to have global warming. And all of the polar caps, the South Pole and the North Pole. Okay, I'm going to catch that. They're going to melt. And it was 2-3 years ago that they said you'd be able to sail right across the North Pole without hitting any ice. And then they sent a ship up there. And what happened to it? The ship went up there and it got stuck in the ice and it crushed the ship. And it was way outside of where the ice field normally is. Okay? And so these are the things that worship the world. But then they put polar bears all over commercials. And we're supposed to respect the polar bear. And guess what? They hunt polar bears. And why do they do that? Because there's enough population that they have to keep them thinned down. Polar bears are not starving. Polar bears are flourishing. And the guy who is the world's leading expert on polar bears, has his doctorate on polar bears, the global warming people have banned him from showing up to any of their academic meetings because they don't want to hear what he has to say. And why is that? Because they have their narrative of deceit that they are propagating. They do not want to hear it. They don't want any opposition. As a matter of fact, they want to silence those people. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is a big one. That's nothing has changed through the times, okay? We still have the worship of the world, the lust of the flesh, people taking other people's goods. Has that ever changed throughout history? It has not changed at all. Look at, this is one that I was talking about here when we're referring to this for the, to silence somebody who has a opposing view or what I would call the truth. But Attorney General Lynch wanted to prosecute climate change deniers. And what does this do? That means that if you speak out against this, we're going to sick the government on you. We're going to pull all your grants, everything that you have. You will sit down and be quiet. Here's our narrative that we are giving. You will go along with this. And so that guy who's the polar bear doctor, they won't let him anywhere near this. And he, because he speaks out, they want to silence him and take away all his credibility. They also come out and tell you that 97% of scientists believe this. Go on Google and type that in, and you're going to see where there are thousands of people who have come out and said, we don't believe in this at all, and they just silence them. There's 97% of the group of people that they've polled, okay? Well, that's pretty easy to do when you're controlling those. The other one, here's an interesting one. I'm familiar with these first two, okay? Male and female. This is what's being taught now. These are the genders that are out there. Okay? And I look at that and I'm like going, am I looking down at crop circles? What the hell is this? Okay? I have no idea. But this is what's being taught, and you better accept this. Okay? Learn this and accept this. These are the new genders. And I'm like going, there are two. There are two genders. Okay? It's the sex that you're born with. Yahweh did not create, what's this, Demi Boy, Adam and Eve and Demi Boy, or any of these other ones here. So this is just false stuff. What is this? It's lust of the flesh. But it's being push. And if you go against this, you're a bigot or you're full of hate or whatever it is. And so this is where I say this is the deceit. And it comes upon us, and it normally comes upon us at a young age. I was looking at one, and it was the guy who is, he's one of the leading evolution teachers, Hawkins. It's not, I can't remember the guy's name. Anyways, he was saying how wrong it is and how it should be illegal for parents to teach their children religious aspects because it warps their mind. And I think to myself, are you kidding me? You go to a school and the school is just indoctrinated so much right from the beginning of what the kids need to do and what they need to have and the social engineering, and they're not even learning the basic stuff, so they're learning the things of the world. Okay? But this is nothing new. It's the deceit that comes in. Become ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Reasoning yourselves astray. Okay? And so when we start becoming where we're like, well, let's dabble a little bit in the things of the world, and we'll kind of go with the world, and we'll go with what the book says. We know this is wrong, but we want to do in between. We're going to take a little bit of both sides. And I was listening to Revelation, and it was, you know, where you're not hot or you're not cold. And what happens to those lukewarm? They get vomited out. They get vomited out. And I think about that to myself. So reasoning yourself astray. Reasoning yourself, meaning what's between my brain is causing me to deceive myself, and my own thought process is dragging me out into a quagmire instead of out of a quagmire. This is Leonardo da Vinci. The greatest deception men suffer is from their own opinion. Okay, their own opinions, and I like going, yeah, that's, sometimes that can be very true, because somebody will come up with something, and what they think, you know, well, it can be anything from sports. It always made me laugh with the sports stuff, because like, you go there, and they're, you know, rally cap this, and you do this, and you'd have all these things, if this works. And it's all fun, okay, except for the fact that there are people who actually, hey, wait a minute, we need to go to the game, and you know the commercial where the guys are driving, hey, last time we won, and you were in this position in the car, you were in this position, I was driving, and they're like going, oh yeah, and they all switch. They all switch. Why? What is this rationale? But in people's mind, opinions, well, no, it made the difference. It made the difference, so let's do it. Let's go, we're still on 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to actually be in starting in verse 1. And so if an adult would read this for me here, starting in 3, 1 through 11.
I will.
I therefore, brethren, have not been able to speak unto you as men of the Spirit, but as to men of the flesh, as unto babes in Christ. With milk have I fed you, not with meat. For not yet have ye been able, nay, not even not yet even now are ye able, for ye are yet fleshly. For whereas there are among you jealousy and strife, and ye are not fleshly, and after the manner of men walking. For as soon as one beginneth to say, I indeed am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom ye believed, and each as the Lord gave to him. I planted, Apollos watered, but Yahweh caused to grow. And that neither is he that planted anything, nor he that watereth, but Yahweh who caused to grow. Moreover, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Howbeit each one his own reward shall receive according to his own labor. For we are Yahweh's fellow workmen. Ye are Yahweh's farm, Yahweh's building, according to the favor of Yahweh which hath been given unto me. As a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, whereas another is building thereon. But let each one see how he buildeth thereon. For our foundation can no one lay than that which is lying, which is Jesus Christ.
That's it. See, we already read that, but this is where we're looking at it. Now, here's one of the other things. If you're going to run into it where, again, when we're talking about the deceit, and you see the deceit in high, and the mobs, they infiltrate at the top down. That does happen within the churches, where you'll have those happening within the church. And if you speak out, or if you have something different, I was watching a program last night, and it was all about the 1930s through 1940s in Germany, and it was about the church, and what the church was doing with the whole Holocaust, what was taking place. And it was interesting to see that. They had video and pictures of these priests actually directing and ordering the firing squad. And the priests weren't speaking out against what the Nazis were doing. They were actually encouraging, and they were changing the doctrine. And they were reading it, how they changed the doctrine to say that it's not for the meek. It's for those that are the warriors. And you are the warriors, and they are the weak, and they need to be removed. And they had changed the words. And I'm thinking to myself, and here's a guy standing there. They're showing the video, and it's a priest who's standing there in all his robe ordering the firing squad of these Jewish people. And I'm like going, golly, this is just crazy. But I'm like going, okay, there's nothing to be shocked about that. Christ comes, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, what they do?
Kill
him. They attacked him after they saw what he did. And so don't think that by your actions that you go out and you speak a word to somebody and you prophesy to somebody and the people around are being like, wow, that's incredible. There will be some. And there's others who are going to look to find fault. They're going, wait a minute. Remember how he said that? Isn't this Jesus from Nazareth? Who the hell are you? You know, like slipper socks, medium. But people will come out and they'll say that. They'll accuse you. Well, I remember you back when you were whatever. Okay, and we have to expect that. And we have to expect that there is going to be those tares amongst that. And to be on guard and to be watching. But the big thing is for the deceit, that we are not laying deceit. And so that when we talk to somebody, it's really easy. And I find myself a fault with that a lot. Somebody will say something, you know, well, so-and-so just died and it was my mother. And you're like going, yeah, my heart goes out for you. That's a horrible thing. Well, they're in a better place. And I'm like going, you know, and I'm like going, okay, Yahweh, how do I give them the information without hurting their feelings and hurting them? But if I sit there and just keep my mouth silent, I'm like going, okay, that's not accurate and that's deceitful. And so what do I do? What do I say? And so this is where we have to, okay, yeah, you're right, they're in a better place. I always thought about that after Dale Earnhardt. I lived in the South during that time frame. And Dale Earnhardt, the NASCAR racer, gets in a car accident and he dies. And people literally were buying the number 3, which was his, with the halo over it. And I'm like going, where'd the halo thing come from? I don't get that. And then people would even have little bumper stickers that say Dale Earnhardt racing his car in heaven. You know, and I'm like going, you know, I knew that there's harps in there, and I know there's pearly gates there, but a race car? Oh, this is going to be great! You know, but it's all these things. Where do these come from? They're opinions. It sounds good, therefore I sell it, a few people hear it, and now the next thing you know, we have new words and new things. And this is the deceit that we try to shy away from. Reasoning yourself astray. And that's the whole crutch of this, is to Check what's between your ears for the deceit, the things that come in, the things that you do to set your anchor firm and to be on the foundation of Christ. Okay, that's it, guys. We're going to go ahead and I'll have a closing word and have a word for those who are listening as well. All right, good time. Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for all the believers here. We just thank you for your words, for the comfort that you give, and for us to be able to come to you and know you, to hear the bidding that you have, Yahweh, for us, so that as we wake up every morning, that as before we do anything, that it is first fruits to you, Yahweh, and that we come to you, that your servant is here and waiting for instruction, that we are ready to go. And so we thank you for that, Yahweh. We thank you for forgiveness of our sins, that you cast them as far as the east is the west, as we repent and come before you and it is blotted off. And so we thank you for that. And I thank you, Yahweh, for the words that you give, that we speak these freely, and that for these are words of comfort and exhortation. And so we thank you for that, and all this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I see the calling that you have had and that you have felt before, that you have actually come down to your last dime, that you are without reason and without hope, and that there's nothing there, that you feel like the last meal, the last things have already been dispatched. And I'm calling to you and telling you that I am able and I am a rich father and I have multitudes that are available. For of all the things that were created, all these things were spoke from my mouth, that I put these in orbit, that there is more stars than you could possibly fathom, than that of the sand of the seas. And all these things are at my call and are available, and I am able to dispatch. I was able to make wealthy of nations, and I was able to make wealth nations that were wealthy as broke and destitute. And so come before me that I may be able to bless you, for it is within my will to do these things. Just as people came to my son and asked, you can heal if you are able and you are willing, and I am telling you that I am willing and I am able and I can do all these things. So lay your things down before me, lay down the problems before you, put your past behind. That is you seek me, and lay down and come before me and repent of these things. For this is first, that you come before me and repent and seek me and change your way of life, that you may be able to discover and find the wonderful things, the dispatches that I will have for you to pour out upon you, for your bowl will be more than full.